Amen. And we need to do that this Christmas. Boy, I'll tell you, it is, you know, more and more people are saying happy holiday season greetings. And I'm not against that if they're just saying it. But so many just, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Christmas, it's about Christ. It's about Jesus. And we can celebrate because he's our Savior. And thank you so much, Don. I appreciate that. Don filled in for me. I was supposed to sing, well, Brenda and I were supposed to sing this morning, and I've been sick for the last couple of weeks. Haven't had a chance to even think about singing and practicing and haven't had a voice. And I appreciate Don helping out that way. And what a blessing to be able to talk again. Others may not think so, but anyway, it is a blessing for me. I noticed when I put my glasses on, Norm and Judy back there. And good to have them here visiting from Florida. And then Ben Pearson and Autumn is somewhere in there, I saw. And praise the Lord for these coming from Florida and bringing us those extra 2 degrees. They brought it up with them so that all this rain wasn't snow, but always good to see these dear people. And then Ben Potter right over here. And Ben's going to be preaching for us tonight. I asked him several weeks ago if he would, and this is the only time he's here. And Ben, of course, coming from Gaylord, Michigan, where they've got probably, what, a foot or two of snow? Something like that. So the Floridians overwhelmed the northern Michigan guy. So praise the Lord for that. And we got rain instead of snow. But we're just delighted this time of year. It's a wonderful time of year. And I did have one more announcement to give. Pizza rolls are here. If you ordered pizza rolls from the Berean Baptist Academy varsity boys basketball team and cheerleaders, you may pick them up after the morning or evening service in the fellowship hall. If you've not paid for your order yet, you will be asked to do so when you pick up your order. And would it be true that you made extra ones?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if you want, now by the way, they were cooking these on Friday, and every time I walked around there, I gained weight. Just the smell. I mean, I don't know if anything smells better than those pizza rolls when they're cooking. It is unbelievable. So make sure you get those. And how many extras would you say you have? All right. Does anybody know that? One of the ladies? Men typically don't know. But all right. Very good. I also noticed Dwayne and Mary, I hope I don't embarrass you, the Lilies, they have guests. And I think you told us about that. You want to introduce your guests to us? Praise the Lord. And you folks are from Ypsilanti, is that right? Good to have you here. Appreciate you coming. All right, let's get into the Word of God. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Really one of my favorite Christmas passages that is not a Christmas passage, if that makes sense. It is, but it isn't. It's not Luke chapter 2, but it's a beautiful truth. And believe it or not, this month we are talking about, well, for the whole year we're talking about for such a time as this, and that's been our theme. And then this month is designated a time for giving, which is why we had the cantata, the greatest gift. And so the theme, we just haven't been able to get into it because I've been sick and we've had different speakers and that. But I want to talk to you about that today, a time for giving. And again, Galatians 4, 4 and 5, but when the fullness of the time was come. Notice that, the fullness of the time. When that time, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, one of the best things about Christmas is the giving. You know, it is just such an exciting thing, giving. And people, honestly, it's amazing how people that can be kind of scroogey during the week, I don't know that that's a word, or during the year, you know, at Christmas, it's almost like they change a little bit, and they enjoy this thing of giving. Now, again, I'm not talking about the commercial aspect and all that's involved there, even you know, those, well, I just have to give, so I'm going to give. I'm talking about you know, people that just enjoy it. And there's a lot of giving that's going on. I was reading in the newspaper about one of the local public schools that they didn't have a class gift exchange. Instead, they just all gave to the Humane Society, I believe it was, and instead of getting a gift themselves, they gave to someone or something to the Humane Society, and in a way, you see the sacrifice that is involved, and people do. There's all kinds of sacrificing going on, people giving, and to me, it's such a tribute to God giving His Son as a sacrifice. God, who gave His Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so God gave. And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." I mean, come on. That's why we celebrate. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, you know, of all people that ought to be able to celebrate, you say, "Well, I don't like all the commercial." Okay, forget all the commercial stuff and celebrate that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As you heard, I mentioned the funeral service on Wednesday. Hey, there is no reason to smile. There is no reason to sing. There is no reason for us to rejoice if there is no eternal life. There is no way that I don't know how anybody ever goes to a funeral without knowing, hey, this isn't it. I often stand at the head of the casket and people come through. And you know, sometimes folks have a tough time dealing with it and all of that, and we all do. But it's so refreshing to be able to say, you know, it's not goodbye. It's we'll see you later. And we only can say that because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And praise the Lord for that truth. That's why, you know, it is a celebration. That's why it is a time of rejoicing. And it is reason to celebrate. You know, that's why the angels, when they proclaimed to the shepherds, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." You know, it's a time of rejoicing, but a time for giving. Throughout the Bible, God gives. If you've ever read your Bible, and many of us are reading through our Bible, we read through it year after year. Some read through it several times a year. And as you read your Bible, you see God giving over and over and over and over again. A time for giving. I want you to understand, and we're going to talk about the past, the present, and the future as far as God's giving. But the thing I want to really focus on today is that word fullness, the fullness of the time, the fullness, when the fullness of the time was come. What's that talking about? It's talking about when maturity, you know, maturity, when perfection, when the time is perfect. We talk about perfect timing. You know, some will watch football and you know, they'll see that guy throw the ball and that other guy's running his fastest. And I mean, you know, sometimes that ball will land right in that guy's hand and we would say, perfect timing. Boy, the timing is just right on that. Let me tell you something. God's timing is always perfect. When Jesus, one of the great miracles of the Christmas story is that little baby in a manger, everything came together perfectly. And the timing, when the fullness of the time, when the timing was perfect, when the time was right, God sent forth His Son. Perfect timing. You say, okay, preacher, we get it. Yeah, but you have to understand, it's always that way with God. God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always right at the right time. Perfect timing. I think about timing. I think about our microwave popcorn. And some of you have experienced that little tiny kernels. You know, those are unique. And you got to pop them just right. And we have a setting on our microwave and we have to do it. And I'm telling you, honestly, we have to do it exactly just right. If it goes over a second, guess what happens to those little tiny kernels? They burn. And I mean, if you ever have burnt popcorn in that little bag and you have your smoke alarms and all that kind of, I don't know how many times our smoke alarms have gone off with popcorn. And you know, you try to get the bag, you try to get it outside and maybe throw it somewhere and you know, and it's smoking and everything. And it's always exciting, but it's got to be perfect timing. And if you don't get it just enough, then you have all those little kernels in the bottom there and they don't pop. And so it's got to be perfect timing, it right at that time. And I think about the birth of Jesus. What a miracle. And I, you know, we're going to go through some of it, but it's just such a miracle that when the fullness of the time was come, that's when God sent forth his son. Not too early, not too late, but when the fullness, when the time, ding, when that alarm went off, when the fullness of the time on God's calendar, when that time came, God sent his son. Not too early, not too late, perfectly. Giving time. What's a giving time? Well, a holiday is a giving time. You know, some people give it Christmas. Some will give it Easter. Some will give it Thanksgiving. You know, a holiday time, it's a giving time. A special day. Those are times to give. We're always looking for that perfect time. You know, a birthday. By the way, fellas, don't miss your anniversary. It's a perfect time, amen, to give a gift at that anniversary. It's the perfect time. Maybe to honor somebody is a perfect time to give a gift. You understand, God had perfect timing to send the gift of God, eternal life wrapped up in that little baby. Eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come, to live a perfect life and to die, to pay for our sins and to rise again to give us life, eternal life, perfect time. And understand, and this is the truth that's going to carry on throughout this. God doesn't wait for the occasion. He makes it happen. Now, God's timing is perfect, but God's not sitting there waiting. God's making everything happen. God's lining everything up. God is the one who makes it all take place. And I'll show you how that applies to you. Number one, perfect timing in the past. Perfect timing in the past. The birth of Christ was marked on God's calendar before the foundation of the world. The birth of Christ before the foundation, where God, in the heart and the mind of God, Jesus would be born. Jesus would live a perfect life. Jesus would die for the sins of mankind because God knew what man would do. God knew that man would sin. God knew you would sin before you were ever born. God knew that we would choose to do that. And on God's calendar, the birth of Christ existed. It existed before Genesis 3:15, which was the promise of the Messiah. The birth of Christ was written on God's calendar before he ever told man that he would send a Redeemer. Before he ever told man he would send a Messiah. Before he ever told man that he would send the Lamb to be the perfect sacrifice. I mean, the birth of Christ was marked on God's calendar before Jesus was born of a virgin. In fact, before prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, that he would be born of a virgin. You have to understand, God knew all of that. Time does not limit God. God simply makes everything happen to fit into what we call time. God just makes it all take place. The miracle of Christmas, you know, we think about that little baby in a manger, but God said that a virgin would conceive. What a miracle that is. That's why Satan has, over the years, tried to get a network of people to discredit the truth by changing the words and everything else. Because, wow, it's a sign. He said, the Lord shall give a sign. A virgin shall conceive. Well, that can't take place. It did. It did take place. Why did it take place? Because it was part of God's calendar. And God said, hey, the Christ will be born. The Messiah will come. Jesus will be born on this day. It will take place. And God makes it all take place. God makes it happen. Perfect timing in the past. Before Rome was ever Rome. You understand? God said that the Lord Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. By the way, he said in the days of Herod. It's in the days of Herod the king, the Roman Empire. It was crucial that the Roman Empire be in power during that time. It was crucial for many reasons, but one reason was so that there would be taxing. Yeah. You know, it was crucial that the Roman Empire be in charge. It was crucial because the Bible says in Luke 2:2 that and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And that's how Joseph ends up in Bethlehem. That's how Mary with Jesus ends up in Bethlehem. It's amazing to me. You say, boy, you know, God sure, boy, they sure were, we sure are lucky that we're, luck didn't have anything to do with it. Is it possible that Rome was in power during that time only because Joseph and Mary had to end up being taxed and go to Bethlehem? Praise the Lord. So many things. And again, you know, the Roman Empire and how that took place for the taxing so that Joseph would be there. And why is Bethlehem so important? Well, because God told everybody in his word in Micah 5:2 that he'd be born in Bethlehem. Amen. But God doesn't wait for everything to line up. God makes it all work. God puts it all together. And I'm saying that today, and I'm saying it over and over because, folks, that's what he does in our lives too. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. But when the fullness of the time was come at the age of 17, God made it possible. God presented to me through many, many circumstances a time when I would come and I would ask Jesus to save my soul. Come into my heart. Give me that eternal life. There was a time on God's calendar that I would be put in situations and everything so that finally I would come to that realization that I was lost and on my way to hell. And the timing's never off. It's always perfect. Yes, I had to make the decision, but God put it all together. I say today, if you're not saved, that perhaps God lined everything up so you'd be here today. So you'd hear that God loves you. So that you'd hear that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. So you'd hear today that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you'll come to Jesus today. Oh, the testimonies all over this place. They're all different. You know why? Because God gave us all that opportunity in so many different ways. Some of you heard it when you were 5 years old back here. In junior church. Some of you heard it at home by your bed. Some of you heard it in a church service. Some of you heard it at your door when somebody knocked on your door. I mean, all the stories, all the different ways that we heard it. Let's not misunderstand. God brought it to pass. And it is not an accident that you're here today. If you're not saved, you are in a good place because you're in a place where you can get saved. You can trust Jesus. You can be born again. You can have that gift. There, you could not have a better Christmas than to have Christmas Day knowing you've received God's gift of eternal life. Praise the Lord. God didn't wait. He didn't wait for the right time. He made the right time happen. And the birth of Christ, the gift of God, a time for giving, the perfect time from God to man. He sent his son at the perfect time, his perfect timing in the past. You see, you know, if most Christians, if you think about the past and all that had to happen so that you would or you could receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, think about it. Think about all the things that happened. I mean, I go through my testimony. You say, yeah, we hear your testimony a lot. Well, you know, it's good to share your testimony because it reminds you of what God did to make it happen. I mean, I wish we could just spend the whole time just go through the Christmas story and all the things that had to be perfect. The little baby laid in a manger, which is a place for little lambs. The shepherds coming, which are the ones who care for sheep. I mean, it all is so beautiful, and God put it all together at the right time. But just your own salvation, look what he did. Look at the people that were in your life. Look at the ones that said to you one day, you know, do you know you're going to heaven? Look at the ones, no matter who they were, no matter what, that got you thinking about it a little bit. And how God's timing was so perfect. And all that had to happen so that you would or you could receive the gift of God. Boy, I'm so glad I'm saved today. It's all part of the fullness of time. It's all part of the Christmas story. It's all part of what we celebrate. As I celebrate the birth of Christ, how could I not celebrate the birth of Christ in my heart and my life? As I rejoice that Jesus came and he came to die on a cross, how could I not rejoice that he offered me that gift and I took that gift, which is eternal life? How could I not? How could you not rejoice this Christmas? As Don's saying, how could you X Christ out when he is the whole meaning of Christmas to me personally? Sure, I've built snowmen, and I've never had one talk to me. And I never named one Frosty. I could have. It's a good name for a snowman. But that doesn't mean anything to me personally. Do you understand? It doesn't mean anything to me personally. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. I'm dreaming of 75-degree Christmas. It doesn't mean anything to me personally. But I'm going to tell you what means something to me personally. Is that little baby was born so he could live a perfect life and so that he could come and die on an old rugged cross. And that one day, in God's timing, that gift would be held out to me. Oh, praise God. And that I could take that gift freely. Oh, what a blessing it is. Perfect timing. And all part of the fullness of the time. You today, it's no accident that you're here. This could be your day where the greatest gift in all the world is presented to you. And all you have to do is take it. This could be your day of the fullness of time. Your time to be saved. Perfect timing in the past. But number two, we see the perfect timing in the present. Because it's still going on. It's still happening. I mean, I can look back and see what God did. But he's not done doing. I think that works. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Look at it. I'm so glad he's not done doing. I am so glad that he's still doing and working in my life. And I'm so glad that his timing is always perfect in my life, day after day. But I do want to give this verse to those who perhaps are not convinced that today is the day that they be saved. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You say, "Well, how would I know that?" Because you have now. You have today. Not one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Nobody is. Today. Perfect timing in the present today. The fullness of the time has come. Just like perfect timing, God sent his son. We celebrate Christmas. But I say to you today, perfect timing, God brought you here. You can be saved today. Now, today is the day. Perfect timing. Jesus preached in Mark verse 1 and 15, or chapter 1 and verse 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, today. The time is at hand. The fullness of the time. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel now, today. You know, Noah had 100 years to preach that same kind of message. 100 years. Repent! Change your mind! Believe the Lord! Believe the word of God! God's going to destroy the world with a flood! And he had 100 years to preach it. And he only took his family. Now I'm glad, I know he's glad he took his family, but all those people that listened, all those times they heard. You see, you have an opportunity today if you've never been saved. You have an opportunity to be saved. I talk about opportunity, and it makes me think of Wednesday I preached, and obviously I had this message on my mind as well, but I preached about Bill Alfrey. I called the message Traitor Bill. Bill Alfrey was a man that traded and bought and sold. And most of you that know him, you know. I mean, he was very busy. Farm equipment, cars, mopeds, scooters, anything. I mean, he got his website. He had so many doodads on that thing. It was funny. And, Pastor, you need these. Oh, I do. I need Indian blankets every day. And, you know, and I don't remember all the different things. But, but here's the thing about all of that and what the message about Brother Bill was. That is, he had an opportunity. God gave him an opportunity. And I'm not going to get into the whole message, but he had an opportunity. And see, we have an opportunity today. Okay, we don't know what we're going to have tomorrow. Yesterday is over, but and we don't know if we're going to even get tomorrow. But here, we have an opportunity today. And so when I talk about perfect timing, I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about this time. And God has given us an opportunity. God has given you an opportunity to be saved, but God's given every one of us opportunities to do something. How do you know? Because we're still alive. He gives us time. He gives, let's look at some verses here. Psalm 32, verse 6. I just want to show you several things. And I don't have very much left, so pay attention, all right? And we'll get out of here, and maybe God will change our lives. Psalm 32, verse 6. The Bible says, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." In a time when thou may... Do you know we can talk to the God of gods today? Do you know that any time you can talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we can pray today. In a time when thou mayest be found. God, now is that time. I can talk to you, God. Would you agree that the time is perfect to pray? The time is fulfilled. The time is here. We can pray. Why? Because he'll hear us. Because he may be found. Because he's a God that will incline. Well, I love that when the Bible says he inclines his ear. He leans toward us to hear what we have to say. I love that. He's not shying away. You ever shy away from somebody? You don't really want to hear what they have to say. You know, God's leaning toward us. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he's leaning toward you. As you whisper a prayer, because maybe you can't sleep, because you're troubled with things, God's leaning toward you. Oh, Father, God says, yes, my son. And understand, you know, today is the day. This is an opportunity. There's an opportunity to pray. Have you prayed today? Did you pray yesterday? Will you pray? Will you pray? It's an opportunity. It's time to pray. Notice Psalm 95 and verse 7. Psalm 95 and verse 7. What a great truth, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand today, if ye will hear his voice. When? Today. Today, I can hear him. Today, I can read his word and it can speak to me. Today, I can hear the voice of my God. Yeah, but if I don't listen today, I'm not going to hear. If I ignore him today, if TV is more important or a football game or if other things are more important, I'm going to miss what he has for me. But if I'll open my heart up and I'll say, oh God, speak to my heart. Oh God, guide me. Then the time is right where God will guide me along the way. Just as he sent his son when the fullness of the time was come. The fullness of the time, it's a perfect time to hear what he has to say. It's a perfect time to talk to him. It's a perfect time to listen to him. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I love this verse. Galatians 2 and verse 20. And there's no way, to misinterpret it at all. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And watch what he says. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice the life which I now live. When is the time to be crucified with Christ? When is the time to die to myself? When is the time to let Christ live in me? When is the time that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave him? When is that time? I only have one shot at it. It's the life which I now live. It's now. That's the time. The time's full. It's the perfect time. Perfect time. I don't know how many Christians, you know, well, I'm just waiting until I get older and I'll give my life to God then. I'll crucify myself later. I've got some things I want to do. I got some things that I need to do. I got some things that are important to me. But God says, no, right now, the life I now live, I need to crucify myself. I need to wake up every day and say, I die to this flesh. I die. Paul said, I die daily, you know? And by faith, that's how do you make it? You just trust God. Over and over, folks. Well, how can I do right? You just have to trust God. That's how we do it. We just trust the Lord. That's exactly what Paul said, you know? And as long as I'm alive. So you know, check. If your heart's beating, you qualify here. It's the perfect time. It's a time for giving. God has given us this time. I preach about Bill Alfrey, 86 years old, I believe, almost. He'd be 87 next week. And 86 years, God gave him to trade, to buy, to sell, to give, to trade his talents for the Lord and to work for God. That's what we have. We get to heaven, that's into eternity, and it's going to be a wonderful place. And I think we'll serve God there, but we won't be able to serve on this earth as we can now. This is our opportunity. This is our time. Titus 1 and verse 3. Titus 1 verse 3. Another wonderful thing that God gives us. Titus 1, 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Notice due times. He manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, a preacher, according to the commandment of God our Savior. It's a time for preaching. It's a time when, now, today, he's manifested his word. He's allowed us to preach his word. What an honor, what a privilege it is to preach the word of God. That's why he commands his preachers, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. You know, preach the word of God. Nothing else. We don't have anything else that's better. We can preach the word of God. It's time. When? Now? Today? Well, you know, there's some more modern ideas out there, but there's nothing to replace what God said. This is the due time to preach the word. Preach the word. Look over 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. For everybody here. Again, we're talking about perfect timing in the present. Here's something that can be done. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Notice that. God wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Not a whole bunch of options out there. It's not, well, every religion leads to heaven. That's hogwash. It's not true. It's not in the Bible. Jesus said, I am the way. There is only one way. And there is only one God. There's only one mediator between God and men. Very clearly, the Bible says, the man Christ Jesus. But notice verse 6. Here's what's time for. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. To be testified. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's testify about Jesus. Let's talk the gospel. Let's tell people that Jesus came to die to pay for their sins. Why, preacher? Well, because it's due time. Because it's the fullness. It is time. Come on. People need to know there's a Savior. Oh, you know, I get every time I talk about that, somebody gets mad. But they need to hear it. Because for every five that gets mad, there might be one that'll trust Christ. Oh, people need to hear. And it's time that we testify. We give out the gospel. Gospel itself. Hey, the very word gospel means good news. There's enough bad news. Let's give out the gospel now, today, because we can. Oh, you know, they're making laws, but we still can in America. You say, preacher, do you think it'll ever come where we can't? It is in other countries. I suppose it could in America. But right now we can. You can say Merry Christmas. Did you know that? It's not against the law. Amen. And we should. And we should tell people about our Savior. We should tell people why Jesus came. When the fullness is, it's no different than the little baby coming in the perfect timing. When the fullness, hey, when the time was perfect, he came. When the time's perfect, we can tell people about Jesus. Come on, how many times do we not do it? And the time's perfect. We should. We can pray, we can hear, we can preach, we can testify today, now. Now, we can testify. You know, what's amazing is how God keeps giving to us. Go to Romans 8, verse 32. Romans 8, verse 32. I'm not only on the back page, I'm three-fourths of the way down. You can be encouraged. Romans 8, verse 32. It's just not time yet. Romans 8, 32, he that spared not his own son. Isn't that powerful? He that spared not his own son. I mean, come on. If you will not spare your own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he'll give his son, what would he not give? You ever think about it? What would he, if he's going to give us his son, God says this, how shall he not with him also freely, because my salvation's free, how shall he not freely give us all things? God has so much to give. What stops him? One thing, ye have not because ye ask not. And then we say, well, I guess it's not the right time. No, it's not the right asking. Did you ask? He gives our needs. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs. Yeah, we look around, we all look like we've eaten. Right? Yeah. What do you mean? We started at Thanksgiving, haven't stopped. I mean, it's just going to go on. You know, forget diets, right? This time of year. I've heard it, I don't know how many times. Well, this time of year, you know. Well, this time of year. Isn't it wonderful that we have food? Isn't it wonderful we have a roof over our head? Isn't it wonderful that, you know, we have nice, comfortable pews? Isn't it wonderful that we have sound system? I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Because our God, he gives us all things freely. Freely. Psalm 85, 12 says, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. It's a promise. When? When it's the right time. By the way, he gives needs as you need them. I'm amazed at folks that get upset because, well, you know, I God didn't do this. God didn't do, did you need it? Well, not yet, but I know I will. Well, he'll take care of you. How many times if you look back and see, wow, you know, God did this and he did this and he did this. Well, was it when you wanted it to happen? No, but it always happened. Well, he also says, he'll give you what's good. That which is good. And again, the scripture says all things work together for good. And we don't always know it's good. We think somebody already, I got in trouble because I didn't get my flu shot. Why didn't I get the flu shot? Because I'm a wimp. But to be honest with you, it'd have been a whole lot better to get a flu shot than to get the flu. You know, why don't you have that surgery? Well, because it's going to be painful, but it's not as painful as dying of whatever it is that you needed the surgery for. Again, you know, things that are good. Okay, taxing. We don't like taxes, do we? Can you imagine when Joseph received the letter, you're going to have to go to Bethlehem to pay your taxes. Taxes? What do you mean taxes? We pay enough taxes. Why do I have to go pay? Come on. And yet you and I, we're rejoicing today over him having to go pay his taxes. Right? We're pretty happy that he had, oh yeah, because it had to be, the Messiah, Jesus, had to be born in Bethlehem, and yet it took a nasty thing like taxes to get him to Bethlehem. And Mary's pregnant. The Bible says great with child. Some of you ladies can understand that real well, great with child. You know, waddling and everything, and riding on a donkey. Can you imagine? And there they go to pay their taxes. Honestly, you know, we read the Christmas story and read the Bible kind of like, it's fiction. Kind of like it didn't really happen. No, it really happened. Just like it. And no room in the inn? Yeah, because the baby had to be born in a manger. And there are no mangers in the average inn bedroom. So it had to be out in the cave, if you will, with all the barnyard animals. Glory to God, minus pigs, obviously. And we look at things that happen, we say, well, that's bad. Well, you don't really know if it's bad, do you? And in light of what God says, that everything works for good, shouldn't we make friends with it? I've told you many, many times, I got where I griped about my drops that I put in my eyes because they were stinging and my eyes were red, and I got really upset. And I don't like that. God said, well, quit using them then. One time I'm praying, God just said, well, you know, if you don't like your drops, don't use them. You don't have to use them. Well, God, I'll go blind. And then I stopped and I thought, yeah, dummy. And I started thanking God for my drops. You know, there's a lot of things we can gripe about, a lot of things we can get bent out of shape about. This last sickness, I don't get sick very often. And I don't think it's because I'm healthy. I just think God's good. Because I'm not that healthy, I don't think. I don't necessarily try to be. There's other people that try a whole lot harder, but I got very sick. And I don't miss Sundays for sickness. Now, sometimes we're out of town, we go away, but very rare. And I'll be honest with you, I'm sitting over at the house, and we live down at the end of the alley, if you don't know where we live, and our window, or upstairs, you come up the stairs, and there's a window right there, and we always leave it open, pretty much, except at night. And I'm looking out, and I'm watching church, and I'm watching the buses, and I'm watching the cars, and I'm crying. And I got a little whiny, and I had to go downstairs and go where I pray, and I had to kneel, and I had to say, God, I don't understand. I don't like missing church. I want to be there with our people. I want to preach, and I want to be with them. And God said, am I God or not? And God showed me that he needed to just keep me at home. I thought, yeah, but, and I talked to God, and I said, God, I don't even know this guy that's going to stand in my pulpit. Never met him. Talked to him 4 minutes, and when I talked to him, I was sick. I didn't want to talk to him. It's amazing how all that happened. And I said, what if he doesn't know what he's doing? God said, trust me, all things work together for good. My wife came home. She said, honey, that guy was great. I said, what? No. But God had already told me to just praise him and thank him. God had already told me that. What a blessing. You know, taxing is a bad thing. Not if it gets Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Yeah, but the inn being full, and it's, you know, the weather's not good, and they're going to have to go out here in this stable. That's a bad, it's not bad if it puts little baby Jesus where little lambs go, where the shepherds can come and look upon him. It's not a bad thing, is it? And you know what? Probably what's happening in your life, you've shed a lot of tears over it, and you've hurt over it, and your heart's ached over it. But God knows what he's doing. He really knows what he's doing because his timing's always perfect. And he is able to turn the ashes into beauty. But only God can do that. So many people stay miserable because they don't let him do it. They really do. You know, he said in Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When? What time? Well, it says when we delight in him. When the fullness of the time, when it's the perfect time, and we delight in God, wow, he always comes through. Now, I'm going to close this point and the other point, the last point is very short, but you know, we can mess all that up, folks. I'll never forget King David, and I preached on this years ago. King David was told by Nathan, the preacher, after David committed adultery, after he stayed home when he should have gone to battle, as the Bible says, and God made it very clear through the man of God to King David. He said, I would, moreover, have given you such and such things. Never forget reading that for the very first time. Didn't hear somebody preach on it. I was just reading my Bible and God spoke to my heart. I would, moreover, have given you such and such things. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder what was in the heart of God to give David. What would God who only gives good things, what was he going to give David that because David sinned and walked away from God, what did David miss out on? And from that time on, I've tried very, very hard not to miss out on anything that God wants to give me. Why? Because he has perfect timing in the present. Number one, perfect timing in the past. Number two, perfect timing in the present. And I close with number three, perfect timing in the future. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse 10. Some say this is talking about the rapture. Some say the millennium. I just simply want to key on the fact that it is future. Ephesians 1 and verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, there will be a perfect time. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. You know, so many people, you'll hear people talking about prophecy and talking about the coming of Christ, the rapture taking place and all that. And I don't know how many people I've heard say these words, everything is fulfilled. Well, apparently it's not. Because when it is, when the fullness of the time comes, he's coming. I don't know when that is. You know, there's a date on the calendar, though, just like there's a date for the Messiah to be born. Just like before the foundation of the world, God had a date on that calendar that Jesus would be born on that day when the fullness of the time had come. And when the fullness of the time, when the time is perfect, we're gone. Glory to God. I mean, there is a perfect time. And when it is, nothing's going to stop it. The trumpet, the shout, and we're gone. It's the perfect time. Angels don't know when. Theologians don't know when. We don't know when. But there's a perfect time, and it's when the time is full. I close with Revelation 22:12, and then he'll give again. Revelation 22:12, behold, I come quickly. And as I've said many times, it's quicklier today than it was 2,000 years ago. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And what a day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be. Perfect timing. It's a time for giving. God has so much he wants to give. You can pray. You can listen. He'll speak to your heart. You can give your life to him today. You can receive all that he has for you today. Right now, there's perfect timing in the future. He's coming. When he comes, it's going to be the perfect time. You know, I've wondered, are we going to be under attack? Are we going to be under siege? Are there going to be drones flying around or in our ears or, you know, going into our brain and all that? You know, what all is going to really be happening? Is it going to be a time of panic? What the Bible says it'll be a time when you think not. So then I think, well, it'll all just be peace and quiet. And, you know, who knows? But when the time's perfect, he'll come. Amen. And we'll go. And then he'll give again. My reward is with me. To give every man according his work shall be. Those rewards, those are eternal rewards. They don't burn up. They're not where moth and rust corrupt. They're in heaven. And Bill Alfrey is seeing some of that today as he'll celebrate his first Christmas in heaven. He'll celebrate his first birthday in heaven. And he'll see some of that. But I close with the idea of you're here without Christ. Today's the perfect time to get saved. Sunday before Christmas, can't think of a better time as we celebrate Jesus coming to a manger to live a perfect life and die for us. We can celebrate Jesus coming into your heart.